So you have 115, or you have a different?
I was absent on Friday. I actually have 115.
You have it. And 271 is on it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so just at the top of the purport above that. That is the proof of a Krishna conscious man, one who has lost all inclinations for material sense gratification, although the desires are present. Right? So because he remains satisfied in the transcendent loving service of the Lord, he can remain steady like the ocean and therefore enjoy full peace. So desire may be there, but because the point is that the desire has to turn into result before there's action, right? Mm-hmm. So the problem is not as much the desire as the action, right? It means if desire is there, but there's no action, then what's the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you may want to eat on a fast day, but you don't. Right? So what will you get credit for? Right? For not eating. Right? So that's the idea, is that desires may come up. Right? So it's like, so it says, the incessant flow. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires. That means desires are always coming. Right? One may say, oh no, but they'll go away. The problem is not that they go away, is that you don't do anything with them. You know, it's just like that on a fast day you feel hungry. That's not the problem. The problem is if you eat. Right? So that may come up. Does that make sense? So the idea is that so many things may come up. There may be so many desires, but we don't act upon them. Why? Because the results for Krishna. Because desire is in Sambandha, in Prajumna. Right? But for action to take place in Abhideya, then there has to be, the mind has to touch on Prayojana. Right? It has to touch on Prayojana. Right? So when Aniruddha is there, then there's the inclination to perform the activity. Right? But if it never gets to Aniruddha as a matter of our own sense gratification, then the desire simply becomes an impetus for doing something for Krishna. Right? Or it's something that we don't bother with. Does that make sense? So it's not a problem. So you remain satisfied in the transcendental loving service, right? So that's how you can tell the Krishna conscious. Because the other one is that it's just he's stopping the desire, so there's always that little edge and stuff like that. Yes.
So we just have to make sure the desire doesn't touch on any root.
Yeah, that's all. Right? That's all. Because the point is it has a purpose, right? So that's not a problem. But the point is then who's the purpose for? Right? That's where we're going. Because you'll see the field, then there'll be, oh hey, with this field we could do this. Right? And so Prajumna is like that. That will give us this result, Aniruddha. But now the point is so that result can be for Krishna. So then when Abhideya, it's devotional service. Or when you, the same process, you see the field, there's the inspiration, you see that's the goal. You think, I would like that. Then you act, then it's sense gratification. Right? That's the difference. So if one understands that the result, or naishkarmya, it's for Krishna, then there's no problem. So in the beginning, desires will come up. because that's habit. The mind just, all the mind does is look at a situation, what can we get from this? That's what it's been doing since time immemorial. So that continues that now, that shouldn't be a surprise or a shock, right? The idea is that what we're changing is who it's for, because who it's for makes a difference between sense gratification and devotional service. So that's why we start there, right? I mean, of course, we've started with the principle that we're not this body, we're the soul, right? We're servants of Krishna. It's God's creation. So that we would be, from the intelligent point of view, we would appreciate that this is God. So therefore, I won't try to use this for myself. Right? That will start from that. But once that's established, like the devotee doesn't walk around thinking that as a regular thing. Right? He's already understood that. What he will think about is then the field, who's it for? Right? Is it for Krishna or not? That's what one can think about. So that's then what makes the process work. Then as that becomes established, then after a while, then those desires basically won't come up. But that's something that we're not worried about, if they come up or not. Because Yamunacharya, this quote that we have from a Yamunacharya that was just previously mentioned, that whenever you think of sex desire, then he would spit at the thought. Right? So, means, as far as desires coming up, what would be significant in this connection, in relationship to, we'll think that, no, as soon as you become Krishna conscious, all the desires go away.
He does.
It may think. It's not that he thinks about it, it just comes up. Because the mind sees an opportunity, it just brings it up. It's not that he's contemplating on sex life when there's nothing there to invoke it. You know what I'm saying? When the situation that could invoke it, then the mind will just go, hey, here's an opportunity. Okay? What adhikar would we, generally speaking, give to Yamunacharya? Right? One of the Alwars, the guru of, one of the gurus of Ramanujacharya.
Uttam.
Uttam, right? So that means the mind, that's just what it does. Right? You know, if dogs bark, that's what they do. So it's not something to, you know, like we say, if you don't like dogs barking, don't keep a dog, because they're going to bark, right? So we could say, but the problem is you are going to have a mind, so it's just get used to it. So that's why Krishna uses incessant, because wherever you turn the head, wherever the senses are applied, it's a different situation, right? Or it's a different aspect of the same situation, so you could contemplate what you could get from it. Right? So the point is, if the practice is whatever you could get from it is for Krishna, then it automatically, things don't progress. Unless it's your duty. Right? Because if the results for Krishna, it's not your duty, then it's very easy to not get involved. Right? If it's something you want, even though you shouldn't get involved, you get involved. But if it's for somebody else or something else, then if it's not yours, you don't get involved, right? It means you have the building and has like these corridors, and on each side of the corridor there's little rooms, little doors, right? And everybody's sitting in their little room. And you come to them with something. Let's say he's in education, okay? And so then you come to him and say, yes, there's the problem with the... You come to him that there's this problem, there's this open sewage area right next to the school, and the kids are being disturbed by that, right? And so he'll go, oh, yes, no, good point, but this is sewage, we're education, so therefore you have to go to the sewage department, right? You know, and the sewage department then will say, oh, yes, that's very nice, but that area is managed by the road department. You know, that's not under us. So then the road department will send you, you understand? Because it's not your area, so what do you care? Right? Does that make sense? So the only reason that we get involved in so many things is because it's for us. As soon as it's for Krishna, then we're not going to be Right? Then we have other rules that we make sure we perform our duty. Because it's not for us, therefore we should perform our duty. Right? So the thing is not only will we drop the elements of sense gratification, we also might drop opportunities to serve Krishna because the result's not for us. Right? Does that make sense? But in other words, the mind comes into control because of this. Right? And as he progresses, he's satisfied because the Krishna conscious process is very nice. He's satisfied. Therefore, whatever opportunities are there are just for Krishna. Does that make sense?
Can I just ask a question to clarify? So the person whose department it wasn't, they should have thought it's for Krishna and done it anyhow?
No, not necessarily. It means if it's connected to them, yes, but if it's not. What I'm pointing it out is that it's so easy to not get involved if it's not your area.
Okay.
But let us say the local gossip.
Yes.
Right? Now is it their duty to get involved in everyone's life? They have a portfolio that's what they're supposed to do, right? You know, the local community council has
entrusted
them with, the fine details of everybody's life. And also to, start up conversations, to create discussions, to come to conclusions, and possibly even, some little vigilante work on the side. Right? You understand? There's nothing for them to do. Absolutely nothing. But they're so inspired to get involved.
But wouldn't Suraj be an emergency where the children are?
Yeah, but if your only capacity is dealing with what curriculum goes on in the classroom, what are you going to do about it? You can only say your help will be go to that department.
Yeah. But I mean, I just see this sometimes you go to this department.
Yeah, but that's a whole other discussion. It means if you have issues with the Mayapur runaround. See, the thing is. I think Lord Chaitanya is just arranged. If you can handle the Mayapur runaround, then you can stay here. If you can't, you go. So just right there, some people within a few days leave.
Yeah, okay.
Just because, I've had times, because Mayapur is so big. You go to one place and you're looking for, you have to talk to this one. So then you go, okay, well, where are they? Oh, they've gone to the Lotus. You go to the Lotus. Oh, they just left for the big kitchen, right? It takes you 10 minutes to get over there. Oh, they just went to the Brahmachari Ashram. You get there. Oh, they just went to Navadvip. It's like, you spend 3 hours and then you miss them. It's like that. And that's just the normal. Yeah, that's at least what we used to call it in the 70s. The Mayapur runaround. Yeah. So. In other words, take the example and first see its application. Then when we understand the principle that it's supporting, then if there's a detail within the example that you would like to bring out, then you can go to that. But if we don't understand the example and we just get involved in the example, it's the discussion, we miss the point. Just like in yesterday's class. The class is about that the demigods, even though they're so elevated, their senses get distracted and they think of sense gratification whenever there's an opportunity. Though they may not act on it because they're pious, but they think about it. But the devotees, it doesn't come up as something important. In the beginning it will, but as it goes, it's not important. So the point is only by devotional service can you conquer this. Even the great sages and great demigods can't because they don't have that absorption in devotional service as a sadhaka does, right? Because we remember they are neophyte devotees who have been elevated to that position, but you're not performing sadhana anymore. You're not practicing further. You know what I'm saying? As a dynamic, you may continue doing what you're already practiced at, but there's no way to increase it specifically. It means you could. Technically, but generally they don't, because the normal thing is we get absorbed in the activity and think just absorption in the activity makes it devotional service, rather than it's the consciousness when absorbed in the activity that makes it Krishna conscious. You understand? So in other words, catch that, because they could have brought up the points about how you say it? You know, about the girl and the attraction and all that, but generally it doesn't, because most of the audience is grihasthas, so they're not about to bring that one up when a sannyasi is giving the class. But if there's been in a temple where it's mostly brahmacharis and a couple of grihasthas, then that definitely would have been the question that would have come up. You know, so is it okay, should the ladies not wear ankle bells? Because, you know, it means you would have gotten all these kind of questions. Like that. Does that make sense? So we understand the point. Then, if need be, then if the example is something that's being used there, so you could get into these side points, and they would be supportive of the main point, it's okay. But otherwise, then it's the principle's been missed. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yes?
Just a side point? The demigods the demigods, they have kind of the same problem as some of these very pious Hindus, no?
We said neophyte devotees.
Yeah, but the same situation, actually. They're very pious, but they don't know
why. It's the same people. Who do you think gets those positions?
Yeah.
Right, you know, it's not the stinky tofu walla, that's in the village in the you know, how you say, around Shanghai, you know, that is getting the position.
No.
Like the demigods are liberated beings.
No, they're not liberated. Who said they're liberated?
Liberated?
No, they're neophyte devotees, third class. In other words, our devotees. Who are more distracted by their family life, money, position, sex, sensuality, you know, prestige. In the next life, they become demigods. That's what Gita says. If you're practicing devotional service, and you get distracted by, you know, all these material things, you're not well fixed in the devotional process, then you go to the heavenly planets. Then afterwards, then you come back and take birth in a pious, religious, or brahminical, or, you know, one of these upper-class families. Not necessarily devotees, just pious upper-class families. Right? Does that make sense? If someone was very fixed in devotional service, but they didn't complete going, you know, back to Godhead, they'll be born in the family of devotees. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So the demigods are neophyte devotees.
Like Indra.
Yeah, like Indra and all the other 33 million. Like, you know, Lord Brahma, Shiva, Narad, you know, the four Kumaras. You know, those four, you know, okay, maybe they're a little more advanced.
Yeah.
You understand? Like that. We have to be clear on the position. Otherwise, why are they so distracted? They're not liberated. Right? Brahma, you know, maybe. Our Brahma happens to be, but he's not necessarily. Shiva always is, the four Kumaras always are, and Narad Muni always is. But other than that, you know, there may be a few on, you know, Tapaloka, you know, Janaloka, like that. But otherwise, their positions, just that means the higher ones, the, you know, Brahma, his sons, the Prajapatis, the Nakshatras, you know, these are your top. Most purified within the class of demigods. Because these ones are not interested in sense gratification. Right? But anyone from Indra on down, that's why they're there.
Dhruva is also considered.
But he's not a demigod, that's a transcendental planet. You know what I'm saying? He's not counted as one of the demigods. That's Vaikuntha. Is that okay? Right. You know, it's just generally these things aren't brought out so starkly, but that's the reality, because people don't like stark when it comes to the reality of actually their position, because everyone's very comfortable, however they've worked out their life, that it's perfect. And on one level, yes, it is. But on another level is, you know, how serious is it? How dynamic is it? Because we can always increase how dynamic our situation is. But if it's just a matter of, you know, I go to the temple when I think it's right to go to the temple, and I'm involved with the temple how much I think I should be involved. So that I'm involved and I do something and I chant, that's according to Guru Sadhu and Shastra, but how much I'm involved and what I decide is involvement, that's purely my own whim, actually. Do you know what I'm saying? Is it Shastra that only on Janmashtami or possibly a few other major festivals is the only time you'll go to the temple because you're so busy at your occupation and with family? Is that a Shastric point?
No.
So how much of our communities around the world, that's how they've defined it? So what's the basis? It's their own whim. They won't like to hear this at all, but that's the reality. So therefore, going to the heavenly planets is seriously a major point, you know, as a possibility. Not being born in a family of devotees. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? But it's according to their desire, so you get what you want. So that's what they want, so that's what they'll get. They just don't like the, within a spiritual movement, being told you're not going to get to that platform, you're going to get to heavenly planets, only based on the prestige that it wouldn't carry. That will be the objection. But being in a heavenly place, I'm sure any of those persons wouldn't mind, you know, having a vacation in, you know, Paris or Bali or, you know, someplace like that, or, you know, Milan, or they would be happy, especially if they had enough money to, you know, go out and buy some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like that. They would be very comfortable with that. And while they're doing that, there would be, you know, very minimal Krishna consciousness. You know, basic, they'd probably chant their rounds and like that. They'd be vegetarian and think about Krishna, you know, when they're eating, like that. But other than that, at the spa and, you know, when they're shopping and all this and that, they're not going to be thinking. Does that make sense? So that's the reality. So those people, because, you know, devotional service is so powerful, then the exchange rate is so great that the piety of devotional service, that will elevate them to that platform. Does that make sense? Right. So, the point is, but a little bit more will elevate you back to Godhead. You know, so therefore, why not take advantage of that? That's the point. But if we're always, oh no, but that's fanatic, and we tried all that. No, it's just, no one tried all that. You tried fanaticism, but you didn't try serious devotional service. If that's what you're talking about. Oh yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, we did all that when it was done. Now we're more mature. And it's like, no, it's just, you missed the point. Your false ego is getting in the way.
The difference between, let's say, what's heavenly, what's the demigods, and what is Krishna would be surrender in itself, because it's,
yeah,
the question of surrendering one's result also.
Yes, surrendering the result, but that means all the result. The point is, you walk into a grihastha's house, how much of that house is connected to Krishna? The altar's connected, probably most of the pictures on the walls are connected. You know, that what they cook in the kitchen generally would be offered to Krishna, at least the major things to be offered to Krishna. Maybe the kid's cereal is not offered to Krishna, you know, so I've never heard of, you know, the Cheerios or cornflakes going on the offering, but, you know, maybe, whatever. You know what I'm saying? A few things like that, the candy bars and, you know, stuff like that or not. And, you know, maybe if they, you know, order out for pizza, that might not be. You know what I'm saying? So Krishna gets, you know, the puja goes on, you know, in a standard way. Like that. But they probably have some dhotis and saris, you know, in their closet. But other than that, there's a good chance the whole rest of the house simply reflects whatever social conditioning that they're from before they joined. You know? It means basically 100%. Yeah, you understand? And this is reality. So that full surrender, you know, what's the consideration about the living room or bedroom or bathroom? You know, or the kids, or, you know, the garage, or the dog, or... You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So it's not considered. So it's not connected to Krishna. And then they'll go. So it means direct activities of devotional service is connected. They chant, right? They take prasadam, they go to the temple whenever they can. Like that, and you know, take part in the, you know, the Bhagavatam class or the kirtan if they're a little more serious. Otherwise, they just come for prasad, take darshan, and take prasad. Right. So the point is, direct devotional activities. Then you know they're doing to some degree, and that's why they are situated or advancing at whatever pace they are, is because the direct activities are so powerful. But all the indirect activities, you know, the element of, you know, you have always remember Krishna, that's the direct, but never forget that there's very, very little endeavor. And if you mention those, then everybody gets all bristly about it. You know, like that. So there's no forum for discussion. So you don't. So therefore you come along and just say, yes, it's all nice, or, you know, do a workshop on just chanting and all that. So you improve that because that becomes more powerful. They'll advance more by that. But the problem is there's no cultivation of what's distracting them from Krishna. Yeah. So if they get absorbed enough, like you have a kirtan mela, so people will go and get absorbed in the kirtan. If there's no kirtan mela, they may not go to the kirtan. So because of that, they are. So they advance. So it's good. It's a good thing. But the point is will it be enough? Because the point is at the time of death, that's the point. So the point is if, you know, as they were saying there, the billboard, if you know the art of dying is how you live. Because whatever at the time of death, you're going to take shelter of whatever is the most important to you, whatever gives you shelter.
Yes.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, if it's, you know, how you say, unfortunate kids in Vietnam, you know, during the middle of the war, you're going to have problem with your shelter. You know what I'm saying? But if it's Krishna, then fine. But the point is how you live your life is what you're going to think of. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's the thing. So if they think of Krishna, fine. We have nothing to complain about. But, you know, generally speaking, most people, if there's something they're concerned about, they over-endeavor in that area. Let's say if someone's worried about security, right? Let's say he's worried, you know, there's been quite a few, you know, thefts in the neighborhood over the last 6 months. It's increased. And he's into security. Now, what's he going to do? Right? He's going to put bars in his windows and, you know, alarm system like that. You know, he's probably going to get himself some, you know, weaponry like that, you know, some electrical things or you know, a mace or even possibly a gun, you know, if it's allowed. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's going to get safes, put his stuff away, you know, and not just regular things. They can pick something maybe with a retina scan or, you know, just, you know, stuff that he's going to, it's a little over endeavor, but, you know, like that, right? Let's say security meaning money. Then he's going to have money here, he's going to have money there, he's going to have money under the mattress, you know, it's going to be happening. You understand? So if we understand it's the time of death that defines when you go back to Godhead, that depends upon what you've done during your life, then you'd want to make sure that you're doing enough that Krishna is the prominent element in your life. You understand? Rather than, oh, we're doing just how much we can and don't push. Yes, then Krishna gives a rule. For such persons, do not disturb their mind. Right? There is a rule for that, so it is true. But then the person who the rule is being applied upon can't have much ego. Right? Because he's in the mode of ignorance. That's why you apply the rule. But at the same time, because he's in the mode of ignorance, he's very proud. So that's why then those who are more advanced, that would be applying the rule of don't disturb the ones in the mode of ignorance, have to have better qualities, that they're not disturbed by people who have less qualification, you know, taking the position or attitude that they have more. Right? So it balances out. So the advanced devotees have better qualities, so they tolerate the lack of good qualities in the less advanced. And they just encourage how much you can. So just encouraging, then that's nice, but it's only nice because it's the devotional direction. It's not nice because seminars and workshops are the politically correct modern thing to do. You know what I'm saying? These things came up only recently. I mean, they did come up, I think, in the 80s, right? But devotees are always behind the time. So in the 90s, devotees got into them. You know, so devotees are still working on political correctness of the 90s, even though we've already gone into the, you know, we passed the knots, now we're into the teens. You know what I'm saying? So it's that's what we're talking about. That's dangerous. Means you're engaging how much you can and how much you're actually conscious of, you're connecting, though you may not be conscious of everything.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, in front of the toilet, right? Okay? There's this nice, neat little shaggy rug, right? It may be an oval rug, maybe a round rug, sometimes it's a square rug, or it might even be the one that's a U-shape that even fits in around the toilet, right? Okay? So you have that variety. Okay, now by modern definition and all that, instead of putting the toilet at the end, you always have the shower and bathtub at the end, right? So that means if you want to get to the bathtub, you have to go by the front of the toilet, right? And then after going by the front of the toilet, you go to take a bath. You're clean, right? Now what happens when you step out of the toilet? Where do you step? Right? Because you're wet. You don't want to get the floor wet, right? That would be uncultured, uncivilized, un-Western, right? You know, this wet, you know, Indian bathrooms are just an insanity for these, you know, super sophisticated, very qualified, completely impure personalities, right? So, you know what I'm saying? So, where will you step? On the dry rug, which is in front of the toilet, which is the one that you stood on to pee, or, you know, stood on the other way when you sat on the toilet. So what's its position? Contaminated, right? So now you're going to walk throughout your whole house. So what's the nature of your house? Funky, stinky, dirty. That's why the Shastra says, Mileshas and Yavanas by culture, says those who are Brahminical culture have zero to do with them. Now you understand why there's zero tolerance? Because their lifestyle is wholesale impure. Wholesale. Not even there's anything pure. Okay, maybe their hand... No, that's not even that. It's just no bug. There's no pathogens. They take their little squirt bottle and put a little bit on after they've shaken your hand or touched something like that. But that's not pure. Contamination is still there. It's just all the bugs in the contamination are dead. So now your hands are covered with dead pathogens.
But it's sort of a continuous ignorance, I think. Sometimes.
Yes, it's a continuous ignorance because then, you know, in there as you look on the shelf. Okay, you know, just as you're walking out of the bathroom on the right there, all around the sink, on the shelves there, and if you open the little mirror thing there, then inside, how many little bottles and little squirty things are there? Yeah, at least 30, right? That's got to be admitted, otherwise it's not a bona fide Western bathroom, right? How many of those belong to the husband? Right?
If it's a meat eater, most probably all of them. No.
No. No, that's that. Don't even try that. Don't even try that. The toothpaste belongs to him. He can tell. It's the tube that's been squeezed in the middle rather than at the end. That's the guy's one. Yeah, no cap. Okay? Everything else belongs to the lady. And why does she have all that? Right? Because she wants to look beautiful for Krishna, or just she wants to look beautiful because she's a woman? So where's the connection? 30 bottles of stuff you could connect to Krishna, not one of them is. And why does the guy squeeze the toothpaste in the middle? Because he's just, it's the easiest thing to do. But if it's Krishna's tube of toothpaste, how would he squeeze it? From the bottom, right? So that's why, somehow or another, I'm not sure who. Maybe I think it was the last, you know, million, you know, housewife march on Washington D.C. that changed the manufacture, that they don't use the tin tubes anymore. They use the plastic ones, because even if you squeeze it from the middle, it doesn't change the shape and all that. Like that. I know of it was a bill from Congress, that one. Like that, just, you know, the domestic peace within the nation.
But there's that level of ignorance, like it's almost like sleep, because people...
Yes, that's the whole point. So that's why in this class we analyze it. And that's why you only see certain people in this class.
There's even the fact of deodorant.
Deodorant, yes.
And these kind of questions.
But deodorant, what's the problem with deodorant?
So most people actually can smell the real smell.
Yeah, but they should be using deodorant.
Yeah.
Because the point is they're not supposed to smell for Krishna and the Vaishnavas. If they want to smell bad for the Karmis, that they can do. But, you know. Right, unless you want to preach to them, then it's better you don't smell bad.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the point is why they do anything. You know, what's the reason? What I'm saying is they only do that because it's Western. Right? Now, if you're in America, you have certain things in your closet and this and that. But if you're in Europe, they don't have those. You know what I'm saying? They have a different set of stuff. Like that. That's their conditioning. And depending on whether you're South Europe or North Europe or East or West, you know, in Asia, they have different stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
but
saying?
Also there, the culture in itself is degenerating.
But that's another discussion.
Wait.
You don't have to try to prop up some support for the Western culture because the Asian culture is degrading.
The Western culture, even Europe.
Not degrading. It's just like, let's say we have a garbage, you know, one of those big garbage dumps, you know, those big metal things that are always, you know, you always see them in the alleys, you know, in all the movies, you know. People are either crawling out of them or being thrown into them or, you know, how you say, looking through them for something, right? Right? One of those. Now, let's say inside is a bunch of garbage. Okay? So it's garbage. Now, if it's one day old and not so bad, funky garbage, or it's been there for 3 days because, you know, the sanitation engineers are on a strike and it's become more funky, so is that a discussion? You're saying it's becoming degraded.
It's
been degraded from the day, you know, Hava and Eva convinced Adama to eat from the fruit of the tree that had all the karma in it from the previous king.
And maybe what I was trying to say is like, before maybe you would have an Italian kid, he would be all Mamma Mia. An American kid would be very different from that. Now the Italian kid is also like kind of iPad, hamburger, and American kid as well. So it's all becoming kind of the same thing.
But you're talking about a New York Italian kid?
No.
Means the other American kids are becoming like the New York Italian kid.
Like a European culture that is older.
No, but what has this got to do with the discussion?
No, in the sense
what has it got to do with the... You understand what the discussion is? The same point we were discussing democracy. Because the point of the discussion is that once your question was, as the demigods, you know, they're liberated, but they're not. And then we pointed out that they're neophyte devotees, because they were a neophyte devotee when they left their body and didn't think of Krishna, so those things they're distracted by, that's what they got. What are people distracted by? Wealth, position, beauty, power. Right? Good ride, you know? That's what it said, you know, Shukterya Meva Nigama Pratitaistavanti. So before that it mentions the demigods offer prayers to the Lord, because then from that they get their position, their ornaments, their vehicles, their, you know, everything like that. So what the demigods are known for is what everybody's mad after here. So the neophyte devotee means he'll still be mad after it. Madhyama means he's not mad after it. So that's why for the Madhyam, going to the heavenly planets isn't important. For the neophyte, it's a natural progression. Right? Doesn't mean it's spiritually progressive, but it just means, you know, you get better facility. That's what we were discussing. So who cares on, you know, who introduced what? You know, because the American kid, there's probably, you know, other than the iPad and those things like that, but probably most of the food that the kid eats is probably, the American kid eats is Italian. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, probably you could only say, you could probably only say thick milkshakes and burgers. A hamburger is, you know, truly, probably pumpkin pie. You'd have to give them pumpkin pie, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Cornbread?
Huh?
Cornbread?
Yeah, probably, but that's still, you'd be the African influence. Okay. So there is no, you know what I'm saying? So the point is, as far as, America doesn't have any culture. Any culture it has, it gotten from Europe. But as far as technology, that it's, the rest of the world is following. Technology and business. Okay? So economics and technology, that you could say, but that's not culture. That's just things. It's the money you have and the things that you have. What you do with it, that's the culture. Right? You know, the American kid will be going down the street like this, you know, like that with his iPod. You won't see a European do that. They'll sit there and very nicely listen to their music and sit there in their seat in the tram car, you know, just like everybody else, but they're just listening to their music. Yeah. I mean, we're not talking Amsterdam, it's still in the 60s.
No, I'm saying even Italy, even small villages north of Italy.
What is the point? What is the point?
I think that what I wanted to say is there's sort of like something about the ritualistic part of just living in itself. So
No. But wait. But you're quoting one ritual against another?
No.
Being American against being Vedic?
No. What I'm saying is just the way one acts daily of bathing oneself like that. For example, you know, I would ask myself if an American person, you know, didn't
please,
have a shower.
Please, make a point out of this. Yes. Otherwise, you're not going to be allowed to talk anymore. Because you're new in this assembly. These guys have been here for 2 years. This is the second year and end of the second year. So don't waste the time.
Yes.
I'm giving you that responsibility. Don't waste your time.
Yes. What I wanted to say is that maybe in the daily living, like an American person or whatever person living in modern society, let's say, doesn't have the ritualistic of cleansing oneself, like taking a bath or like a river, knowing of the river or the natural resources that is around oneself. And it's sort of that kind of ignorance or that kind of illusion in having these commodities that also takes one further away from understanding. It sort of makes one sort of more ignorant.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to say.
But didn't we already say that? Wasn't the examples we were giving pointing out that? No. So that the person that I said that there's 30 things in the thing or where the rug is put, that's a Western culture. If I go into an Asian bathroom, there is no rug in front of the toilet. You know what I'm saying? You might put the rug at the door or outside the door. So once you're clean, you go out and you don't. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we were mentioning. So what I'm saying is, why take such a long step to say that? And now, what are you going to do with that? Now that you've said that, now what? What does that apply to what we're discussing here? To the incessant flow of desires?
Yes, I apologize. Maybe
okay, yes. The point is words catch something, you have some feelings about them, and then this and that, they've been a part of your discussion, and to take it down that road, unless you keep the initial point in mind, that path, though maybe valid at another point, is not valid in this assembly. Because this is a class, this isn't just a general yak. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the point is that being able to contemplate, being able to apply, if the question is this, you were thinking this path, how to connect that to Krishna, that's fine. Because then that's applying, as we were saying in Manu, is that self-satisfaction. You've applied what the Shastras say and what the Acharyas have given into your life. You don't see how that connects. Because in all this, you never ask, well, what are we supposed to do with that rug? Or what are we supposed to do with the toilet paper? Or what are we supposed to do with our living room? That never comes up as a question. But that would be a real question. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody wants to know, because no one wants to change their lifestyle. Right? Or not say change their lifestyle, let's say purify their lifestyle. Either just as it is, it can remain as it is, you connect it to Krishna by its understanding, or there might be some considerations that a slightly different arrangement might be more pure or more Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? So it's a, yes.
When every hour activity is directly connected, then according to what is good to choose the activity. I mean,
what is your nature and what facility you have? But direct is not necessarily direct. Is chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating devotees.
You are in the temple now. According to what to choose the activity for the.
No, but the first point I was making is, because you use the word direct, they're indirect. That's your key. They're not direct. Every living entity can chant Hare Krishna. Every living entity can associate with Vaishnavas. Every living entity can hear Bhagavatam. Every living entity can go into the temple, take darshan and deities. Every living entity can live in the dham, right? That's direct. Indirect means what's according to your conditioning. You have a particular conditioning. So what's correct for you to engage in Krishna service is what's according to your conditioning. In other words, your values. Right? So that's the key. Let's say we're taking this, the modern lifestyle. What are the values of the modern lifestyle? You know what I'm saying? People don't think about it. They just unknowingly are involved. Like Prabhu was saying, it's just ignorance. But there's basic values. Right? Things should be, means, you know, in what we project, you know, in the magazines and this and that. Project. It should be tidy and clean. But purity's left out. Right? You know, it should be sophisticated. Right? It should be nice. It should be practical. Right? It should be prestigious. It should be enjoyable. Right? So none of these principles have any opposition to Krishna consciousness. It's just a matter of connecting them to Krishna.
Yes, but this is indirect. I meant.
Indirect. That's what your point is.
No, I meant according to choose from the direct activities.
From the day.
Yeah, I
mean, when you get up in the morning and you take a bath, what's its connection?
Yes, it's indirect.
Right. When you put on your tilak, that's direct. But everybody takes a bath. But not everybody, only devotees put on tilak. In a sense, so that's why it's called Vaishnav Chinna. It means those things that identify you as a Vaishnav. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why all this study is there, so we can judge and analyze, is our life going in that direction? Does that make sense? So the point is it's indirect, means it's according to your conditioning. Now the first point, the easiest, is what is the value that you have in that conditioning? Forget the ritual. What is the value that you have in that conditioning? That then you see in connection to Krishna. Then automatically, whatever it is you're doing is connected. Indirectly, but connected. Now, since you've connected to Krishna, and the result is for Krishna, then you could consider, well, is there any more approved form of this value that would be more pleasing to Krishna? Does that make sense? Then that changes it possibly from a Western into, you know, towards the Vedic. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right? So the guy is ordering out for pizza, okay, but he offers it to Krishna. Right? Because that's what he has. That's his food. Right? And then with time he figures out as well, you know, get it from a vegetarian pizzeria instead of a meat eating one. And then he figures it out, why don't I cook it myself?
Pizza so much, then I cook something else.
Yeah, so that's the natural progression, but you start from wherever you are. So I don't have a problem that houses are the way they are. The problem is that in the house is that there's probably very little contemplation why it is the way it is. And therefore, there's very little connection to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So it's just by conditioning. That's all, right? If you're from the West Coast, then you're basically going to have rattan furniture. You know, if you're from the Northeast, then it's probably wood. It's just conditioning. You understand? But why value? What is the value? The one is solid. It's got some tradition. It's got some, you know, the old world element to it. You know, so it's got some, you know, like that. So that would be the value. So those things are what you connect. The other one is it's light and it has that kind of more fresh kind of, you know, West Coast feel. You understand? So that's why, that's the value. So that's then what you have to look at to connect. So it's the value. That's what Krishna says. It's the value that's important. It's not the ritual, it's the value. But the point is that value will always be expressed through a ritual. That's a bit close to the leaves, I think. Does that make sense? Right? So what we're trying to get to is what is the actual main principle. Then, the second thing is, then you can look at the forms that you... and activities that you are connecting to the principle. But if you don't connect the principle, it's not connected. If I perform an activity, even if it's Vedic, if I don't connect it to Krishna, it's still not devotional service. It's the most pious you can get of the activity. But it's still not devotional service. Right? But, you know, so in consequence, you can take a Western ritual and through the principle connect it to Krishna. You understand? Now you'd have to decide whether the ritual and activity itself, or the forms and activity itself, are ideal. And would there be something better? But that's a further step, not an immediate step. Okay? Yes.
I was thinking that actually we really have to come to a fanatic, obsessive state. And even like the furniture that you're going to have in your house, you want to bring Krishna into it, so you're going to consider, all right, how many chairs do I need because I want to have Vaishnavas come, and I want to, you know, greet Vaishnavas as my guest and you know, give them prasadam and all like that. So actually, we have to come to a fanatical stage.
No, but fanatic will mean that sentiment is stronger than knowledge.
So I'm not using that definition.
Yes, yeah, so the point is you would say, you want to say thorough. The more thorough or complete or focused we are. Because fanatic means it's just emotion, so it's not actually thought out. Because then in here, you say chairs. Why chairs? Because why chairs? Why not sofas? Why not? Yeah, but why either chairs or sofas? Why not a mattress on the floor?
Well, when you're in the Northeast United States, it's cold, so you want to get off the floor. It's
but yoga mats are only this thin, and the yogi considers these off the floor.
So it's cultural conditioning then?
Yes, it's cultural conditioning. They'll simply say you have to get off the floor. What's the floor made out of? The floor is wood. You don't really have to get off the floor. If it's marble, you got to get off the floor. You know what I'm saying? So we just use these things. We just say them. But the point is, there's a heater in the room. If you're really worried about the floor, why not have floor heating? That's what the Romans did. Like that. If the floor is warm, you're warm. So it doesn't matter. Right? And devotees generally may have a choice. And when we have temples, especially when we build temples, we have a full choice. So why not floor heating? Why not floor heating? Because if it was floor heating, devotees could wear regular devotee clothes and sit on regular mats in the temple room and run a temple just the same as a program, as same as you could in India. If you used floor heating. You could say, oh, it's more expensive or more this or more that, but the point is what's more valuable, culture or not? Because if you really wanted to get into expenses, then no one should connect themselves with women. They're 10 times as expensive as men. So if we really were talking really about money, then, you know, we just get on our horse and head out to the outback and hey, haribo. You know, that's it. You know, you got your jeans and you got your, you know, your little bowl with a handle on it and you know, you're done. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, all these things, they just say them, but they don't think about them. So that's fanatic. But because everybody does it, you don't say it's fanatic. So it's only sentiment.
Because I'm thinking, well, even Vedically, like Krishna, he was in Dwarka in his palaces, and there was furniture. It's not like it's...
Yeah, but what furniture was there? We're not saying can't have furniture. We're saying what furniture? We're not even saying that. It says why have furniture? So you've made the point. You want to greet Vaishnavas. So all I was doing was taking it a further step because you said fanatic. I was pointing out here is that the point is fanatic means totally absorbed. But the thing is you're not totally absorbed because the distraction is just using your own conditioning. What about really for the Vaishnavas? Would that chair or that thing be the most comfortable for them? Now, let's say they're older, they have problems sitting on the floor, then you'd want to have chairs and stuff like that. But if they're younger, no. You know, if they practice that, if they're yogis, then, you know, they'd rather sit on the floor. Chairs are mostly, most chairs everybody has in their house are highly uncomfortable, very rare are. Maybe that ergonomic one behind the desk that they sit at for the computer, that one's not bad. But most everything else is pretty much junk. You know what I'm saying? So it is better to sit on the floor. You can stretch your legs out, you can lay down on your side. You can't do that in a chair. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you can, you know, as we used to do as teenagers, slide right down where, you know, basically, you know, normally it means that your hip would be at the, you know, the L joint of the chair, but you slide down so it's your neck there. And then you stick out and then your legs go way out and then you bend your legs like that and just stick your hands up on the thing. Like that. Okay, then you kind of get down a little bit. But there's a good chance that in your contemporary Vaishnav Western society, they wouldn't appreciate that. You know, unless they were teenagers. So you don't have really much opportunity. So it's very limited. Just like a coat. You can only use it as a coat. When it gets warm, you can unzip it. When it gets more warm, then you have to do that sporty look of tying it around your waist. Which really looks, you know, it doesn't look very cultured. But a chadar, you can just fold it up and put it on your shoulder. Then if you want to take a nap, your coat's absolutely useless. But a chadar, you can cover yourself with.
So the point is to actually understand that how we did, you know, buy all this stuff for Grihastha residents, actually we didn't need it. It was simply cultural conditioning.
It's cultural conditioning,
and,
yeah.
And that money could have been used for more Krishna-conscious.
Yes, if you want to take it to that higher, you know, level. But on the lower level, all you have to do is see is that, okay, the Vaishnavas that would come to my house, they would be comfortable in what setting, and so therefore we get that kind of furniture. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I asked. So let's say that they are more eclectic. So do you want sofas or chairs? Right? even want chairs because they don't want to necessarily sit right next to the other. They're too individualistic. On the sofa, then you're kind of part of the scene, and no one wants to sit in the middle, so you're going to waste the seat. So that way you'd have to have more sofas, and sofas are more expensive than chairs. So therefore, like that. Now let's say they're all the same kind of group and they're real homies, right? Then sofas are great because then, you know, 3-4 of them can sit together and it's all buddy-buddy. You know, the chair then is, you don't feel part of the scene unless you're kind of like the honcho, right? Then you sit in the chair. You know what I'm saying? So you have to consider. It means, in other words, there has to be consideration, but we do things simply out of conditioning. That's just how you would do it. If you were a karmi and that was your house, that's what you'd do. And if you were a devotee and it was your house, you'd do exactly the same thing. All you do is change, as I said, change the pictures. And add an altar. That's it.
You also remove an altar, the television, from it. You just change the altar.
This is 2012. This is not, you know, up to the mid, it's early 80s. In fact, you have one of those, you know, 56 inch.
Okay.
You know, that's mine.
Yeah, come on. You know, and if you're really, like, you have it, you know, hung on the wall so it doesn't take up space, you know, then you have more space for, you know, sitting and doing kirtan.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So the idea is that are we conscious of it? So all these desires are coming, but unless we're seeing the result for Krishna, then the difficulty comes is that we may be distracted by them. So the devotee is not distracted because all the desires that come through, he sees the results for Krishna. So it doesn't matter if you're using a Western form or a Vedic form. That's not the actual point. Devotional service is the forms themselves and the results of in interacting with those forms are for Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the real point. I just said you'd use it this way and then that way, and then this way and then that way. Then it's more useful because at least you can use it with knives. Does that make sense? You know, so that's what we're trying to do. Now it can be a further step. Now, in being everything's absorbed in Krishna. Now, would Krishna like it some nicer, a different way? Then that's a next step. The first step is whatever your situation you're in, no matter what it is, connect that. Right? That's the first stage. So even your house is like completely covered with, you know, junk and garbage and old, you know, how you say, pizza boxes and Chinese little boxes with sticks sticking out of them, you know. And of course, you know, your liberal, you know, array of soft drink cans or like that. Then the point is if you see that the point is there, you're comfortable. So that means it's a shelter. So actually Krishna is the actual shelter. So what you're looking for in your house is Krishna. That house, as it is, you've connected it. But that's all the more conscious you are. So to you, living like that is normal. So what you are conscious of, you've connected to the Lord. Right? Now you can consider, well, if it's the Lord that's his comforter, and this belongs to God, so would God like his house looking like this? Then you might throw out the old boxes and cans. You know, and socks go in the, you know, the pan, you know, the thing for the hamper, you know, like that. And does that make sense? That would be the next thing. That you don't have to change, you know, the furniture and what's where and what room you use for what. Then it may come that, you know, it makes adjustments like that. It's just a matter of there's a natural progression. But even if it doesn't, whatever you have, if it's connected. My point is that devotees don't take that step because they're worried is that because I only see, I'm living in a house of forms because of my attachment and my conditionings. But if I contemplate it in connection to Krishna consciousness, I may lose some or all of these forms of my attachment. So therefore, I don't want to contemplate it. But what we're saying here is, what's the problem of contemplating it? Because you don't have to change it, you have to just see it in connection to Krishna. So that means you have to have a superior quality to connect, because Krishna is the superior qualities. You can't connect, well, it's such a garbage dump, you know. And, you know, that's not what you're going to connect, because that's a lesser quality. But that I feel comfortable, it feels very homey, very lived in, you know, just kind of like a rat's nest or something, you know, like that. I won't say pigsty, because pigs are actually very careful, you know, what goes where in their pigsty. You know, there's a lot of mud, but the mud's in a particular place. You know, pigs are very careful. In their pen, they'll only pass stool in a particular place. They won't pass stool where they're living. Like that. You know, so, like that. Does that make sense? You know, so it's a matter of you start with whatever it is. So it's not a problem. No one has to be afraid of applying the Krishna conscious process. It means, in other words, Vedanta, no one has to be worried about. Now, when it gets down, so it's actually on the transcendental platform of connecting yourself to Krishna, the principles. Now, as you drop down into the particular conditioning you have, there it might get scary. But if it's too scary, don't worry about it. You know, just see that the Krishna conscious principles are in place, and you can apply that to everything in your life. And nothing changes. That's the point. You don't have to change anything. You just have to change the consciousness. So when we say that, we mean it. The devotees not catching that point think, no, if we're going to change it, it has to be all Vedic, if we're Krishna conscious. And then when that doesn't work for us, then it's, oh, that's fanatic to be that. You know, we're just being natural, and we're going to be fanatically Western. Right? But they'll present it that we're the liberal ones. No, they're fanatically Western. But both of them, neither of them have changed the consciousness. So that's the weakness. That's why either one of them might have a problem. The one, you'll definitely have a problem. The other one, it's only if you don't change the consciousness. Yes?
So that change would be connected to my changing identity. I'm worried that my identity...
Yeah, my identity will change. But all we're changing is I'm servant of Krishna. We're not attached to I'm not servant of Krishna. Right? Maybe Hiranyakashipu is. But we're not attached. No devotee is attached to I'm not... You know, they're not attached to, no, I am this body. I'm not the soul. Right? They all will accept that. So therefore, the consciousness changing to connect everything to Krishna, that's not going to be their problem.
But we think it would be.
Because we think we are the body, so therefore anything connected with the body is us, and so if there's any adjustment in that, I won't like it. So if I change my consciousness, I change all the forms, because as an American, I am fanatic. American means fanatic. Whatever you do, you have to do it absolutely, totally, and completely freakily. Well, otherwise, you're not an American. At least not a red-blooded American.
Patriot.
Yeah. You know, what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. You know, otherwise, you're the ho-hum guy that has to watch, you know, some soap opera to give some meaning to your life. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. So, the point is that... And there, when I said guy, I meant guy, because girls, they're going to watch it anyway, right? They're the girls, right? So, does this make some sense? We're not needing to change, but we're just going into these things to point out that we're not thinking at all. Someone's saying, no, my house is Krishna conscious. What does that mean? Is Krishna conscious? Yes, because you have an altar, you do some worship for your deities, you offer your food to the deities, and the pictures are about Krishna. You may have some kirtan now and again with the family, like that. So these are major elements within your consciousness, and you've adjusted those, and those are direct, they're the most powerful. So yes, that's very good. But what we're saying, because the question started, why would devotees end up on the heavenly planets? instead of, you know, born in devotees' families or going back to Godhead, because they're distracted by all these other little things that they don't even aren't even aware of. Does that make sense? So we're just pointing them out so someone can be aware. But we're trying to point it out where it's not scary because it doesn't change anything. The forms stay exactly as they are. Right? That little, as we always said, that little triangular little side table that's sitting at the, you know, landing on the stairs that has that little, basket, you know, what do you call it? Reed basket, that inside is that little potpourri dried flowers, you know, and next to them are some little ceramic little whatever they are, you know, like that. Then the point is why is it there? It has no particular purpose, but its value is aesthetics, you know, or homely, you know, that homeliness. I don't mean ugly, I mean... you understand? Maybe hominess would be better. You know, but that doesn't mean that, you know, the gangs moved in also. You know what I'm saying?
Potpourri and the AK-47.
yeah, you know, the whole thing, you know. But, you know, but it's you've had it chrome-plated, so, yes. You know, it's nice and shiny, you know, like that. Yeah.
Homey.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So then it's connected because it's aesthetic. So therefore, all the things, the curtains, the furniture, what's where is for, it looks nice. So if it's Krishna's house, you want it to look nice for Krishna. So therefore, whatever you have in the house, make sure it's nicely placed and nicely taken care of. So it is aesthetic. If it is your value, make sure you're doing it nicely. Right? Then, you know, at some point later, if it comes up, then you could consider whether that's important or not. If it is, and you can maintain it, great. But if, you know, you can't maintain everything in your house, then maybe you don't have all that stuff that needs maintenance. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or get a smaller house. But it's amazing how much stuff you can stick in a house.
My parents moved from the house to an apartment last year.
Yeah. No, that's just it, because it's just... Doesn't mean they didn't take everything with them. But...
More than you would have thought.
Yes, but... that's the thing. And it doesn't fit. It fit in the house, but it doesn't fit in the apartment. So
that's the whole thing, yeah.
I think kitsch developed from people moving.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, the combination between moving, birthday parties, and, you know, like that. Okay, does this make some sense? Like that? Everybody's okay? You survived? Okay. So now, footnote. That was supposed to be just reading that so we could go into the footnote, right? I specifically put it there, just that last sentence, so you could go, you know, the footnote had some context. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 3:24:44, when one's mind is in full Krishna consciousness and one fully engages in rendering devotional service to the Lord, he becomes just like an ocean unagitated by waves. This very example is also cited in Bhagavad Gita. One should become like the ocean. The ocean is filled by many thousands of rivers, and millions of tons of its water evaporates into clouds. Yet the ocean is the same unagitated ocean. The laws of nature may work, but if one is fixed in devotional service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he is not agitated, for he is introspective. Right? So the laws of nature may work means the situations don't actually change, and what happens to you doesn't necessarily change. Right? The ocean is there, water's coming in, and the sun's evaporating it. So there's always seemingly change, but the ocean is the same. Right?
that.
Maharaj, yeah. You mentioned we have to be aware. This is to be introspective.
Yes, to be introspective. So, because he's introspective, so he sees everything in connection to Krishna. So when one's mind is full in Krishna consciousness, whatever is the extent of the nature of your mind, if it's fully absorbed, you're absorbed. Even if it's not, even if it doesn't cover as much of categories or as depth of categories as someone else. Right? In other words, what I'm mentioning here in these details is a secondary point. Like we said, you know, okay, there's 30 we had mentioned about the okay, you don't want water on the rug. That's I mean you don't want water on the floor, okay, but put the rug in such a place or have two rugs. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, because generally you're not wet when you're in front of the toilet. Right? But when you come out of the shower, you are. So move it over where it's in front of the shower, not in front of the toilet. Little things like that. You know what I'm saying? But even if one can't be that, then at least you're taking a bath, getting ready so you can do devotional service. You're clean so you can serve Krishna. Krishna likes you clean, so you're doing that. Even if those kind of details you don't get into. Right? You want to look nice for Krishna. Therefore, all the cosmetics, all the different creams, this and that. So it's connected. Now, whether you want to go through each and every tube and figure out if you actually need that, you know what I'm saying? That's another detail. It's just what is one's capacity? You know what I'm saying? Somebody has 30 bottles of stuff because they've thought about each one, and they're very specific from a very specific company and a very specific, you know, how you say?
Brand.
Not the brand, that would be the company. But within the company, a very specific, not a samana model, usage, but it would be item, purpose, but I'm talking about the thing itself. You know, in the catalog, it's got a number.
Product.
Product, yeah. It's a very specific product. Right? Because you've analyzed it and all that, so then it's just a matter of why you analyze that, why, what's the purpose of that, you connect that, and then it's done. But some people have it just because they saw it, and it was there on the shelf, it looked shiny, or whatever it is, it looked new, so you got it. So maybe you use it, maybe you don't. You use it once or twice, and that is there's probably 10 other things like that. So if you really thought about it, well, you only actually use these ones, but these other 9 you don't need. But then it would have to be, you know, how you say, efficiency or conciseness or non-clutteredness, or these things would be the element that you'd want to connect to Krishna. Then you'd get rid of it. Otherwise, just having them there gives you comfort, because it's options. So being comfortable, then you'll be able to be, because you're comfortable, then you're satisfied, then you are able to engage in devotional service. So therefore, don't take those things away if the person can't handle it, because they totally wig out. I mean, totally. Okay. He does not look outside to material nature, but he looks into the spiritual nature of his existence. Right? So he doesn't have to look outside. It means it's not that you're going to be happy by what's outside, the facilities, the forms, the interaction, the results. No, it comes from inside, from devotional service. Because the point is the forms are already there, the senses are already looking at them. That's already there. Right? But the point is that what's its connection to Krishna? That means that the potency that makes it work is what actually it is. The form is only for carrying that potency. Right? That makes sense. Like that. With a sober mind, he simply engages in the service of the Lord. Right? So sober means he's thoughtful. So he's not overwhelmed by something. Because sober means you think about it. So it's not just sentiment. Right? Does that make sense? You want to be very thorough, but it's based on one's intelligence. Otherwise, then one may be very thorough if it's sentiment, but then the next day it may change, and then it goes the other way. Thus, he realizes his own self without false identification with matter and without affection for material possessions. Because he sees himself and God, and then this is the world we're in. So what about me? What about God? How do I connect with that particular environment? And how is God connected? That's my connection to God. The other things are only external that deal with the conditioning. In other words, with the body. And so they may be interacted with, but I'm my absorption is in that. And the other thing I do, you know, by practice.
So as our devotion deepens, this other side will become less prominent.
Less prominent, yes. It doesn't mean it's not as far as activity goes, doesn't take up any less time. It may take up even more time, because now not being attached to it, it's for Krishna, you may do it better because it's for Krishna. Just like if you're cooking for yourself, not so easy. You're cooking for Krishna, or cooking for someone else, more easy. Right? Does that make sense? So just like that, if I can't cook well for myself, but I could cook well for someone else. So in the same way as all the activities I'm doing, if it's for myself, I'll only do it so good. If I'm doing it for someone else, I'll do it better. Like if I dress for myself, I'll only dress to a certain level. I dress for others, I'll dress better. Right? If I'm just behaving how I feel like behaving, that won't be so good. If I'm behaving how others will be pleased, it'll be better. Right? So why would one do that? So sacrifice means it's for someone else voluntarily. So the supreme is it's for Krishna. Right? Because everything else belongs to him anyway. So you're supposed to be nice to the businessman, you meet him, because that businessman belongs to Krishna anyway. He's Krishna's devotee. He doesn't know it. But still, the soul is belongs to Krishna. That's why you're supposed to be nice to him. Not because if you're nice to him, then you'll get the deal. No, that's just how economics works. Right? So therefore, the businessman is only nice if he thinks there's something to gain from you. If he doesn't think there's anything to gain, he's not nice. Unless, by culture, he's nice as a person anyway. It has nothing to do with his business. But otherwise, the other person, he's not nice, but he will be nice if he knows it's good for business. Right? Or he chooses a business where he doesn't have to be nice. Right? He's the only guy in the city that carries dry ice. So you want it. It's on his terms. You know, you bring your own box. You don't bring your box, you don't get. You know, you can say, well, I'm going somewhere else, because you can. He's the only one that has it. So, therefore, you go back, find yourself a box, and bring it. And he can be as nasty as he likes, because you have to get the dry ice. You know what I'm saying? So, it means you could, match it all up. But the point is he's only nice because he has to be. But a devotee is always nice because that's what is good for Krishna. And, as a second point, this is really good for the Vaishyas, is also because by being nice, you'll get the deal and therefore the profit, and the profit is for Krishna, therefore you also get credit from that side. So you get double credit. Now that's good. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, engaging the skill properly so that you get a good result, because the result's for Krishna, and that the whole principle of why you're involved in that is you as the soul. Right? You understand? So therefore, you as the soul have connection to Krishna, and your conditioning, you can connect to Krishna. So you can win on both sides. But much of the time, because we're afraid of engaging our conditioning, therefore we don't even get the spiritual. We lose on both sides. So what Prabhupada and Krishna and everybody, all the acharyas are offering, is that. But due to the mode of ignorance, we think, no, they'll be lost. I don't want to get involved. I will lose. All what I know is, my life and my Western and my conditioning that I want. Fine. But then find the positive thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say, devotees have an issue with food. Oh, we're Westerners. We can only eat this. But what does that mean, Western? So then only eat pasta. Italians only eat pasta. But you're not doing that. That's Western. Otherwise, if you're American, just eat American food. What's American? No, they eat food from all over the world. Right? China is from Asia. But they eat that once a week. Thursday night is Chinese night. So what's the problem? But if I give you chapatis and sabji, oh, you can't eat that. Even though you go out, Sunday night is, Lebanese. So the pita bread and, the kind of, I don't know what they are, those gooky kind of things like that. You eat that. But that's fine. But Indian, oh, we can't eat it, we're American. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that we're afraid of losing something when it's just a matter of connecting with Krishna. It's food. You need to have food that'll nourish you. That's what food's for. Therefore, you have to have a proper balance between its nourishment and taste. To say we don't worry about taste, that's foolish, because then how will you assimilate anything? You know what I'm saying? Because those people who don't worry about taste generally aren't that healthy. Right? You know what I'm saying? So the point is you have to have balance between taste and nourishment. So then if you like that kind of particular foodstuffs, then see that you're getting that. Right? Does that make sense? So that would be the thing, is that, you know, we're saying, you know, Americans, we have a thing, but what is the culture, right? If it's Italian, they have a balance. They only eat really heavy things, you know, maybe once a week. Most of the time they cook light, you know. You know what I'm saying? Continental the same. You know what I'm saying? Also, all these different cuisines, they all have their special cooking and then their daily cooking. But what sells in America? Not the daily cooking, that's too ethnic. You know, you have to have the special cooking. Does that make sense? So that means then they're already having a culture of eating really heavy, crazy stuff. That's why then they have to have also that culture of just all this new agey, you know, how you say, food kind of stuff. You know, like that, you know. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't have a culture of food. But the problem is they don't have a culture of food supplements. You know what I'm saying? So that's why they don't get healthy either way. Does that make sense? One or two are, but why are they healthy? Because they're regular. They eat the same thing day in and day out. Like Miss Bragg, she eats the same thing. That's why she's made this stuff. Right? But she uses that all the time. She doesn't use salt. She'll just use that on everything. So it works. But we'll just put it here and there on stuff we like. You understand? So they're regulated. That's why it works for them. Then they write the book. But the people who read the book take something here and there. They don't regulate the life. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that we're not considering that even within this, we're not even following. We say Western, but we're not actually following. You know what I'm saying? There's an order to stuff, right? It means if you have a traditional Western dinner, right, do you eat salad throughout the meal? Or it has its spot. It's a course. Right? So unless you have a pita constitution, you can't eat it throughout the meal. You'll get sick. But because it's cold, you don't notice the intestines aren't working properly. Right? So it builds up in there and creates all kinds of toxins. You know, and then you get all kinds of funny things. But they don't see that. So that's why there was a tradition to eat something in a particular order. Every culture has a way of eating something. What they'll eat and what season at what time of the day, they don't mix it up. You know what I'm saying? You don't have waffles for dinner. Right? Does that make sense? It's a breakfast. So they have a thing and then they're regulated to that. Does that make sense? So like that, they... Of course, unless you're a teenager, you're home alone, and there's a toaster, right? Then you just pop it in like that. Then you might do that. Does this make sense? So in other words, we're taking whatever is there, finding the principle in it, and then that's what's connected to Krishna. Right? And then the other thing is it's not that, well, Indian is bad, there, and we're Westerners, therefore Indian is bad. No, it's a matter of you're not even being Western. What's your diet? Sandwiches is not a Western diet. No dietitian, Western dietitian, would tell you sandwiches is a diet. It's a snack. It's something that fills in between meals. It's not a meal. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, by Western standards, most devotees who follow a Western diet because they don't like the Indian food is not actually a Western diet. You know what I'm saying? So, then what you've connected the one thing, the other thing is you want to connect the Western diet. Nice. Connect it properly. Do it properly. Because the point is, why do you follow it? For health. So then what's actually going to make you healthy? Follow that. Does that make sense? So that's what we're looking for. Is that then you get both sides. Now then the detail of what that forms that you're using look like, whether they're coming from the Vedic tradition, whether they're coming from Western tradition, then it doesn't matter. But if it doesn't come from tradition, what's the meaning? Then don't say Western. Just say, whimsical, modern whimsicalness. That would be the or not modern, let's say contemporary whimsicalness. I'm whimsical with whatever happens to be available.
Very strictly.
Yeah, I'm very strictly whimsical about whatever happens to be available. Does that make sense? So that, you can't take that as a platform. And even if you want to take it as a platform, great. Then see that you do that nicely. You know what I'm saying? The results for Krishna. Why be whimsical? What's the value of it? In other words, you have the value of the overall, then the value of the specifics. You know what I'm saying? You have the value of food, and then you have the value of what kind of cuisine. So you have these two that you can connect. Right? The one is Vedanta. It has that direct, though it's Brahman. Right? Or you may see it that it's pious or impious, therefore it's Paramatma. Right? Or the Western is just the skill is being, because the result is for Krishna. So you have all those aspects. Does this make some sense? Okay, so we'll continue after the break. So I may have prematurely brought these down. Right?
Yeah,
wow, we're almost there.
Yeah.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jayanita Gaur Premanandi.